Well, it's lovely to see all you good folk here today, and my prayer is that God will bless each one of you, that you'll be able to go home and say it was good for me to have been in New Bultons, because I met afresh with the Lord. Eleanor was in our house the other day there, and I was telling her about taking the service the night, and I says, it'll probably be my last. She says, you said that before. But somehow, as I prepared this one, I feel, you know, it's not easy. The memory. I used to be able to come up onto this pulpit and preach from start to finish without looking at the Bible. I had the hymns and the verses all in my head. But they're not as, it's not like that anymore. It's eased off. So I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 2, and then we'll try and bring a message, the Lord's message for today. And thank Jonathan for leading there as well, because as you all know, I'm not a good singer, and it's always better if there's somebody up here who is a good singer. But anyway, Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to read this chapter. It's not a very long chapter. We're going to read it together. And you have he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, and it's not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk therein. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of his promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus. For he is our peace, who hath made us both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his faith the enmity, even the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. And we know that God will bless to us this reading from his own precious holy word. Let's have a wee word of prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, just for the very fact that each one of us finds ourselves in the house of God this morning. But for your grace, Lord, we could be in very different places, in the pubs and the clubs and all the rest of it. But we thank you, Lord, we find ourselves in the house of God. And we thank you, Lord, you're here. And where you are, it's heaven there. We thank you for your help thus far in the meeting. We thank you for the hymns. We thank you for our sister Joan at the organ. We thank you for the message that our brother John brought to the wee children. And we thank you for our pastor. And we pray, Lord, that you'll bless him as he preaches in this pulpit in the days that lie ahead. We ask that there'll be much fruit for ministry, that there will be signs following the preaching of your precious word and new names written down in glory. And now, Lord, I pray that you'll undertake for me. Lord, you know all about me. You know all about my memory these days, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that as we'll think about this word, Lord, that you will bless it, that you'll just bring every thought to my memory. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless every dear soul in this gathering today. We ask it in the lovely name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, I done something I don't usually do. I took down a few wee notes for the service today. And I want you to turn with me to that chapter that we read together. Keep your Bibles open there as we think. There's a couple of verses in it that God really blessed my own soul as I thought about them. Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm sure some of the preachers will have picked them out already. Verses 12 and 13. That at that time ye were without Christ, being alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of his promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off, been made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. Some time ago there was a preacher in this pulpit and he was giving his testimony. And as he gave his testimony, he brought God's word as well. And that's what God left upon my heart. You people know my testimony off by heart. You've heard it that often. But I just want to mention a few things in my life. There was a time in my life when I was without Christ. There was a time in my life when I was alienated from God. Without hope. Without Christ. Without God. Having no hope. And without God. And dear friends, as I thought about that portion of scripture there, it brought back those memories to me. I was in total darkness. I knew nothing about the Word of God. When I was a wee boy, I never was sent to Sunday school. I never heard anything about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I grew up like that. But we went to school. And the wife's with me today, and we went to school together. And thank God she's been my wife for the past 65 years. And we've had some blessed times together. But I grew up in sin. I never went one thing. I never went to a public house in my life. I never went into a pub in my life. Simply because my father was very, very heavy drunkard. And many of the time I watched my mother crying because the money she so desperately needed was left in some pub. But God spoke to me through that. And I never went near a pub. But I went on my sin in my darkness. I often think about a verse of scripture in 2 Corinthians 4, chapter 4 and verse 4. And it says, the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. And that was a picture of me. My mind was blinded. I never thought about God. Never thought about God. Just went on about my work. I didn't get heavily involved in sin. Went on about my work. Up at 7 o'clock in the morning and away to my work. And some nights worked to 11 in the pork store there in Foyle Street to try to earn a few pounds, to try to get a few shillings extra for my wife. But I can say this, all my life I brought my wages home and gave it to my wife. And she had the responsibility of trying to feed us. But God has been very good to us, very, very good to us. I was totally blinded. As I said, I was held captive by that subtle, crafty old devil. That's why I didn't even call him a devil. I call him the old devil. And that's what he is. And he had me totally blinded. Totally blinded. He kept me in that darkness. Alienated. Alienated. Imagine being alienated from God. That's how I was, but I never even thought about it. That was because the old devil had my mind blinded. My mind blinded. I was without God. I was on my way to that awful place called hell because the old devil had my mind blinded. I never even thought there was such a place as hell. I never knew there was a place where the worm never dies and the fire never goes out. Them sort of things. I never knew nothing about them. I was just held captive by the old devil at his will. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. It says, for as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for they all have sinned. That was a picture of me. I was dead in my sins. But the old devil had me so blinded, I couldn't even see it. Couldn't even see it. Hell, I was held captive. I want you to take a wee look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 26. I'm going to turn on over a few wee words and I want you to think about them. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 26. I was not only held captive by the devil at his will, I was on the devil's snare. He had me snared. Romans 2 and verse 26, that they might recover themselves out of the devil's snare, who are held captive by the devil at his will. Friend, that was a picture of me. I was alienated. I was blinded by the devil. I was held captive by the devil, and I never thought about God or anything like that. That was just the way I was. I was held captive by the old devil at his will. And I just could not get out of that snare. But then there was one night in our lives when the wife and I were invited by two faithful people to go to a gospel mission. And we started going to that gospel mission. And when it came near the end of the mission, one night our sister was preaching Merle Stafford on John 1 and verse 29, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That night God saved my soul. But I want you to look now at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. That night God saved our souls. That night God brought me out of darkness into light. That night God brought me into friendship and fellowship with his lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm no longer in the devil's snare. Thanks be to God, I'm no longer in the devil's snare. The Lord Jesus Christ set me free. What a wonderful thought. No longer in the devil's snare. I'm in Christ, friends. I was in the world, alienated, without hope, without Christ, without God. But that night, I found myself in Christ. What a wonderful thought. I didn't deserve it. But that night, God saved my soul. And what a blessing that has turned out to be. As I say, I have a few notes here just to remind me. And that night, our sister quoted a verse in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. She said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be free, must be saved, but by the name of Jesus. I want you to look at John's Gospel chapter 8 and verse 32. And here's what the Bible says, not what John Henry says. It says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That night I heard the truth from God's word. And that night God set me gloriously free. John 14 and verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That night I heard the truth. And you know, ever since, friends, thank God, I've been reading and studying his precious word. And what peace and what joy you get as you read and study God's precious word. John chapter 19 and verse 34. I'm taking you all over the place tonight, or today. John chapter 19 and verse 34. And this thought, even as I thought on this verse of scripture, as I was preparing this message, there was times when there was tears in my eyes. John 19 and verse 34. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. From that wounded side, friends, flowed God's remedy for my sin. And you know, down through the years, there have been times and well, quiet and alone, I've pictured God's lovely sinless Son on Calvary. And there he was, nailed to a cross, with nails driven through his hands and his feet, crown of thorns on his head, his body so marred that it was unrecognizable. And then the spear pierced into his side. What, I couldn't help but cry at times when I thought about the lovely sinless Son of God, that God gave his beautiful sinless Son, Jesus Christ, to go to Calvary to die to save an old rascal like me. And that's what it was, friends. Praise God, the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. Praise God, that night Jesus saved my soul. Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. Oh, I picked out these verses as I went along just. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Much more then, my sin's gone. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath to come. And friends, if you're here today and you're not saved, there's a wrath to come. There's a wrath to come. And if you're not saved, you're going to be in that place I mentioned a while ago, that awful place called hell, where the worm never dies and the fire never goes out. But you know, I don't deserve it, but as I stand before you today, that word justified, I'm just as if I never had sinned. Why? Because of Jesus' blood. Because of the blood that flowed from where the spear went down. Praise God. Just as if I had never sinned. I better push on for it. I'm not too bad yet. Romans 6 and 23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ephesians 2 and 8, I think it's, for by grace ye are saved. Oh, I'm only wasting time. For by grace ye are saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, and it's not of works, lest any man should boast. If you're here in this church today and you're not saved, I want to tell you there's absolutely nothing that you can do to merit you going to heaven. Absolutely nothing. There's only one way to be saved, and that's through the Savior of Calvary. That's through the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. The hymn writer got it right when he said, nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. I'm nearly finished. First Peter, chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. I just want to emphasize these. If you're here today and you're not saved, I just want to emphasize these thoughts upon your mind. For as much as you know, listen to it. Those of us who are saved, we haven't been redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers. But listen to it. But we have been redeemed by the blood of Christ, precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without hope. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, we have often been told that money can't buy you salvation. If you had all the money in the world, it couldn't save your soul. From your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood that came out where the spear went in. from the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I think I'm nearly there. Yes, back to the verse that was preached on the night the wife and I were saved. John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 29. And that faithful servant of God were two girls, two Faith Mission pilgrims. She was a Miss Merle Stafford in her unmarried days from up somewhere around Oma. I couldn't tell you, I know she's married now, I couldn't tell you her name now. But Merle preached on that verse of scripture. Behold the Lamb of God. If you're in here today and you're not saved, I want you by faith to take a look at the Lamb of God. Nailed to that cross that I described a while ago, with blood flowing out where the spear went in to save your soul. Nothing else will ever get you to heaven. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Friends, it would be my prayer and be a real blessing to my own soul if someone in here this morning was to put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus for the salvation of their soul. May God help you.